Heavenly Father, we thank you we can request these things that have been requested. People who are sick, people who have other needs, people who have lost their loved ones. We pray for all those needs that we have prayed for and that thou wouldst answer according to thy will. We thank thee that thou dost want us to bring these before thee, and thou art interested in the problems of those that are saved and born again and love thee and are genuine Christians with needs. Thou art also interested in those that are lost and bound for hell, that they may come by genuine faith in thy Son and be redeemed by his precious blood. Now help us as we study these verses in 2 Corinthians tonight, be with those that are listening to us on the internet, as well as those that are here with us in our service this evening. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we thank Pastor Dan last Sunday and also last Thursday, 2 Corinthians, he took that over. We started a little bit late because our plane was late, but we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and he got us down to verse number 9 last time. Those that are listening, by the means, give us a call or comment, 856-261-9018, or questions at bftbc.org. Let's begin with verse 9, 10, and 11, if we can, tonight. 2 Corinthians 2, 9, 10, and 11. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes forgive it in the person of Christ. Lest Satan should get advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. All right, 9, 10, and 11. Now in verse number 9, he besought them concerning the one that had sinned, and what did he want them especially to do in regard to that sinful man in the congregation? Verse number 9. Yes. Yes, Paul.
I think what he's saying here in this verse 9 is that we have to repent and then he will forgive.
All right. And who was it that he was talking about in verse number 8 and 9? Can he answer that? Yes, Tam.
The man in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that had committed incest.
That man in chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians. Forgive him. Then chapter 2, verse 10, to whom we forgive anything. What does the word forgiveness... Oh, Pastor Dan's got something. Go ahead,
Pastor. This is a delay from last week. We didn't sign and see this from last week, but it says, hello to everyone. I'm glad to be able to join you on the internet for Bible study and prayer from Erie.
Erie, Pennsylvania, from Julie, that's way to Julie Monahan over there in Erie. Thank you, Julie. Appreciate that.
She will.
She said she had to go to the doctor. She said she had trouble swallowing for some reason. And she told me that in an email the other day. So please pray for her. She had to go to an ENT. What does that stand for?
Ear,
nose, and throat. Yes, okay. ENT. So please pray for Julie. Tonight, I'm sure she's with us listening.
We enjoyed seeing her.
Pardon me?
We enjoyed seeing her in person.
We enjoyed seeing her in person there in Michigan. Praise the Lord for that. For a couple of days, her mother's doing better. And so, now in verse number 10, to whom ye forgive anything. How would you define forgiveness? Any hands on that? How would you define Christian forgiveness?
Put the matter behind.
All right, put the matter behind you. That's one thing. Anything else? Is that difficult or very simple? Bill?
It's not always easy.
It's not always easy, but you should also pray for the other individual.
Pray for the individual. It's not always easy. Tammy?
Okay.
So it's not always easy. Forgiveness, as the Lord has forgiven us, all our sins that are genuine Christians, he's put behind his back. And we've got to keep that fellowship And if we confess our sins, agree with God for what we sin, thinking, doing, acting, whatever it might be, he's faithful to forgive us. If we agree with him with sin, he's faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God's forgiveness is a great thing. Let me ask you a question. Is everybody in this world forgiven by God? Any hands on that? Tammy?
No.
No, just those that are genuine Christians who have trusted the Savior, our sins have been forgiven through his blood. We talked a long time in Michigan about MacArthur's error on the blood of Christ. He says it's just a figure of speech for death. When blood is the Greek word haima, and death is the Greek word thanatos. Bill?
The Bible also says, I can't remember which book it is, it's in the Old Testament, there is no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood.
No forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. No remission. Absolutely no remission.
Yeah.
What is that, Bob?
Okay.
Okay. Remission.
And forgiveness.
No remission of sin.
Oh, Rob, oh my. I lost you, Rob. Give us another call. I forgot to put my phone up. Out. I'll put that right here. Go ahead, Rob. Give us another call, please, okay? 856-261-9018. Forgiveness. God can do. It's very difficult sometimes for us to do. Now notice in verse number 10, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. So Paul wanted to join them in the forgiveness. For your sakes forgave it in the gospel, in the person of Christ. Now he called again, but Rob didn't come through. I just got one ring. Please give us another call. We'll see if we get that one as well. Hey, there it is. We finally got it. Yes, Rob, right ahead.
Hi, Pastor. Hi, everyone. I just wanted to comment on this verse 10 here.
Yes.
And the changes in the modern versions for the phrase, for your sakes, for I gave it in the person of Christ.
Uh-huh.
Most of the modern versions put in the presence of Christ, which is insanity because no person has seen Christ. We aren't in his personal presence. And I think that's by the Roman Catholic Church. It has to do with the Mass.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And that's a terrible mistake. But they put in the presence of Christ there in 2 Corinthians 2:10.
Good. Thanks, Rob. Let's wave to Rob in Chicago. Appreciate that very much. Thank you, Rob. Amen.
We should wave to his mother. He sent us a picture of her.
Yes, his mother's a picture up there, all right. Yes, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can forgive. God has forgiven those genuine Christians, so the person of our Savior, we can forgive as well. That's verse number 10. And now in verse number 11, 2:11, now what is the danger if we do not forgive one another, Pastor Dan?
Satan's at an advantage.
And where is Satan today? Tell me.
On the earth.
On the earth. What's his title?
God of this world. Prince of the power of the air.
Number of titles. The devil and so other
serpent.
Ones. Serpent. And is he an influence or is he a person?
He's a person.
All right.
Person.
What is the nature of his person? Is he omnipotent and omniscient like God?
No.
No. Sometimes he thinks he is. Sometimes he thinks he's a know-it-all. Tammy?
He's powerful. He's more powerful than we are, but
yes.
Not more powerful than the Lord.
Not more powerful than the Lord, but more powerful than we. He's an angel that fell. He used to be Lucifer, and he's a fallen angel. He's in this world, and one day the Lord will send him to the lake of fire. But right now, he's present. He's got helpers, devils, little devils, that assist him in his terrible, terrible work. So I said, get an advantage over us. What do you think that means? Get an advantage over us. What do you think that means? He's got an advantage. Who's the S referred to there? Dad?
The Corinthian church, and by application, all born-again Christians.
Okay, Corinthian church and all born-again, genuine Christians, and Satan should not get an advantage. If we do not forgive and some of these things and forget what people have done against us, Satan will just be glad and he will rejoice and get an advantage over the genuine Christians. And now, in the last part of verse 11, what is said of Paul concerning Satan, and what does it mean? What does he say about it, and what does it mean? Pastor Dan?
Paul is just communicating the fact that the Church of Corinth, and he knew, and they knew that Satan has certain methods and schemes he does, and that they were aware of them, not being ignorant of his devices.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the two methods that he appears to people today in this earth? Two different, completely opposite methods. Pastor Dan?
Two L's.
Two L's.
Light and lion.
Light and lion. You said lion?
Lion.
Oh, lying, okay.
Lion.
Lying, okay.
Lion.
Like a big cat.
He's like a...
Excuse me, Dr. Wade.
Yes.
Roaring lion.
Yes, Paul?
Doesn't it say, I forgot where it says this word, that
angel.
He is like a roaring lion when we should devour.
Yes, Satan like a roaring lion.
Angel of light.
Also an angel of light, so to deceive. We know what a lion looks like when it comes at us. We know that's a terrible thing, but very clever, he's like an angel of light, pretending to be light when he's darkness, blackness, and wicked and sinful. So Satan should never get an advantage over any genuine Christian. So those are 9, 10, and 11. Let's read verse number 12, 13, and 14 together. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, and I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence unto Macedonia. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Okay, verse 11. When he came to Troas, what was his purpose in going to Troas?
Verse 12.
Yes. Verse number 11, is it?
12.
Oh, didn't...
Talking about Troas, this is in verse 12.
Oh, I'm sorry, verse 12, I'm sorry, yes, I'm sorry. So, what was his purpose in going to Troas in verse 12? Why did he want to go there? On a business trip? Yeah, tell me.
He wanted to preach the gospel.
Preach the gospel of Christ. He was an evangelist telling the good news that Christ died for the sins of the world, including theirs, that they must trust him to have everlasting life and be saved. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Yeah, Tammy.
Is that in Asia Minor?
I believe it is Asia Minor. Let's see if we can find it.
Or west of East of Macedonia.
East,
all right, go east of Macedonia.
East over here.
Right there, see it?
Troas, right there.
It's a city, right?
It's a city. It's a seaport, isn't it? Seaport, right there on the, okay, on the ocean, on the sea.
Thank you.
So it came to Troas. There, in that verse number 12, to preach the gospel of Christ. And what happened when they arrived at that city of Troas? What was true? And, yeah, Pastor Dan.
God opened up a door for him.
A door. A door of opportunity. A door of evangelism. A door of preaching Christ. And teaching the Lord's words. A tremendous thing. And sometimes God does open a door, not necessarily a literal door, but a means of going somewhere to be a blessing and to be open to preaching and teaching the Scriptures, the Word of God. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. So then in verse number 13, we read 13, did we? Or not?
Do we read 13?
We read 12, 13, 14.
Okay, so 13. So what was Paul's attitude as he approached Macedonia? What was his spirit like? Yes, Tammy?
He was restless.
All right, restless. No rest in my spirit. What is that like? What is that like? At 10?
I guess he's troubled in spirit.
A troubled in spirit? And that's sometimes what happens to us. Why was he troubled at this particular point in verse number 13? Pastor Dan?
Was he not able to find Titus?
Titus, and who was Titus? And what do you know about Titus? In the hands of that? Who do we know about Titus? Yes, Tammy.
Well, didn't he go with Paul in some of his missionary journeys or not?
Yes, I think
he was. He was pastor of Crete.
Pastor of the Isle of Crete. And he wrote a book, didn't he? The book of Titus.
He received the book.
He received what Paul wrote to him, that's correct.
Yes.
Instead of writing. I know I've written a book, something in that book I've written, but Paul wrote a whole book and called it Titus. So he was a friend of Paul's and he didn't find him, so he was troubled in his spirit. But then what did he do after he got to Troas, even though he was troubled, in verse number 13? Yes,
he traveled west to Macedonia.
Okay, so we went from over here, Troas, over in Macedonia. There's a green area of the map right up there in Macedonia, a large section there. And went over to Macedonia. And then have we read 14 yet?
Yes.
Yes, we have. Now, what was Paul's attitude? Oh, yeah, go ahead, Tammy.
This is interesting to me that it seemed like he came to Troas and God opened a door to him, but then Titus wasn't there, and so then he left and went to Macedonia.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if Titus was somewhere else he was looking for him, or what was
could be. It could be that Macedonia was the door of opportunity, maybe. Went over there, maybe out pretty to preach the Lord, preach the gospel. That could be. We don't know what that door was. Could be went to another place, and I'm sure the Lord prospered there in Macedonia. Now we read 14:2, did we?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what is Paul's attitude, spiritual attitude, in verse 14? Any hands on that one? What was his spiritual attitude? If Pastor Dan.
You realize that God was the one that was the line in triumph and everything. Those things he was doing.
All right.
Through Christ.
Through Christ, and he was thankful to God. Notice, what did God always cause him to do in other genuine Christians? And Tammy?
The triumph in Christ.
Triumph in Christ. How would you define triumph in Christ?
Victory over sin and obedience to the Lord.
All right, victory over sin, obedience to the Lord. That's a triumph, isn't it? Doesn't mean Robert's going to win everything, but in Christ, even weak Christians can triumph in Him and have victory. And what's the next thing about that could happen in this verse 14 that's very good for genuine Christians? What's the next thing there? The last part of verse 14. Yeah, Pastor Dan.
Manifestation of the Savior of his knowledge in every place. So he's being made known in every place.
All right, and what does Savior? Unknown caller. So we got over there. Unknown caller. Hello.
Hi, Pastor Wade. This is Rebecca Howell and David. Rebecca and David from South Carolina.
South Carolina. Yes, Rebecca and David.
Just wanted to call and just say that we are praying for the Peterson family.
Thank you.
For any spiritual need there and for comfort. And we also want to thank you for your labor with that family. And we see that you're tired. And we appreciate you all.
thank you very much, Rebecca. Appreciate that. And let's wave to Rebecca and David Howell there in South Carolina. Amen. South Carolina. Now, we appreciate their calls. Anyone who has another call, give us a call at 856-261-9018. Now, what does savor mean? And that, 10?
Well, it could mean taste, but it seems like it means smell or scent.
All right.
Like an aroma or of Christ. An aroma. All right. Of Christ.
The aroma, the picture, the sensation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the savor of the Lord Jesus. It should be a good savor, yeah, always, and not a bad savor at all. Yes, Jacob. Right ahead, Jacob and Dale Romer from Texas.
Yes, this is Dale.
Yeah, Dale.
And I just wanted to call and say hello and to tell you that we're praying for Evan and Faith. And we'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Okay. Thanks very much. Let's wave to Jacob
and
Dale Romer over there in Texas. Amen. They're going to be in class with Pastor Dan tomorrow, 3 o'clock, as they always do. All right, that was verse number 14, the savor of his knowledge by us. But what do you think his knowledge would mean? The savor of his knowledge.
Being omnipresent.
Could be omnipresent. Bill?
From the time where I think we're saved, onward, we read the Bible and we're reading things. Normally in life, we're looking for truth. We're looking for things to believe in. We're looking for hope. There's many things that come to mind. And the savor of the truth of the Lord means that we have actually reached the source of all that is true.
Uh-huh.
And everything that is right. It's a knowledge that we can rest on,
yes,
rest within. Whereas nothing else in the world is really true,
right,
or that is reliable. We come to rest in the Lord's word because it's final. We know, mm-hmm, it's true. We know there's not going to be any updates down the road.
Right.
It's final.
Yes. Go ahead, Rick and Randy Kosa. Right ahead, Randy.
Pastor, we wanted to let you guys know we are praying for the Peterson family as well.
Good.
And their loss of Gary. We're praying for you guys too, Pastor.
Yes.
And you labor and you guys do so much for our church, and we do appreciate it, and we thank you, and thank you for being faithful to our church, and for Pastor Dan and Tammy being faithful as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for your call. Let's call and wave to the Cossacks there in Wisconsin. Appreciate that very much. Thank you, Wendy. Lord bless. All right. These are very important things. To save the knowledge of our Christ, and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in every place. We haven't read. Yeah, what, Pastor? Tad, sorry.
But I think in a practical sense, the savor of Christ it's like our light, or your light so shine before men, and they, mm-hmm, see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And it's our witness for the Lord that, mm-hmm, somehow gives people an inkling of, hey, what is that? What's different about that person?
Very good. That's a good comment. Now, we haven't read 15 yet, have we?
No.
Let's just go 15, 16, and 17 from chapter 2 of Corinthians. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, to them that perish saved, to them that perish, to the one that we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but are of sincerity as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. Good, welcome. Anna is with us from school. Praise the Lord. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Anna, verse 15. In verse 15. All right. Now, there are two kinds of savors here. in verse 15. What two kinds of savers are they? What do they mean? Pastor Dan.
One leads to life and one leads to death.
All right, and who are the ones a savior of Christ? What kind of people would those be? Yes, Tam?
Those are saved.
Those are saved. It's a sweet savior.
It's like when you meet a Christian and you sense something about them,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you never knew before. You didn't know them in any sense. And you're just talking, and, you know, it's like mm-hmm. a savor of life because you're sharing something in common that
mm-hmm.
is Christ.
So, on the one hand, we, that is, genuine Christians, are a sweet savor. We should be sweet no matter who we're talking to, those that are saved. But the other kind, that we are unto them, what kind of savior are they?
Death unto death.
Talk about those that are...
Death
unto death. Death unto death is a terrible type of thing to end up. Those that are saved, but those that are not, savior unto death. The physical death, spiritual death, the lake of fire, that's a terrible, terrible tragedy. Does everybody in the world believe there's a lake of fire? There's literal everlasting hell. Does everyone hold to that, Pastor Dan?
No.
No, not even so-called, some professing Christians use the name Christian in quotes, don't believe there's a hell. It's a terrible thing, but there is, savor of death unto death. Not only physical death, but spiritual death for eternity in the lake of fire. Life unto life versus death unto death. Very important difference. Now, in the last part of verse 16, the question is asked. What do you think that question means? What is the question? What do you think that means? Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Yeah, Pastor Dan.
Well, when you're interacting with other believers, savior of life,
mm-hmm.
then when interacting with the lost, savior of death, because they are rejecting the gospel, and so ultimately will lead them to death.
Mm-hmm. And one is asked who is sufficient for these things. We've got to be trusting the Lord to help us when talking to those that are genuine Christians unto life, those that are not saved Christians unto death, who is sufficient for these things? We read 17, did we?
Yes.
Now, what are we not as Paul writes this? What he and other genuine Christians are not, like what, Pastor Dan?
Not as those that corrupt the Word of God.
Now, how is the Word of God being corrupted in our day? Any hands on that? How is the Word of God being corrupted?
Master Barbara,
okay. See what she has to say. Yes, Barbara, go ahead from New Jersey.
Hi, Pastor Wayne. Hi, everybody. To the question in 16, who is sufficient for these things? Paul answers in chapter 3, verse 5, that we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God.
Good. Our sufficiency of God. Let's wave to Barbara here in New Jersey. Thank you, Barbara. Appreciate those comments. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Very important. Our sufficiency is of God. Now, that last question, who's sufficient? Now, in verse number 17, the corruptions of the... What are some of the corruptions that are taking place, that have been taking place for decades? What kind of corruptions do you think that Paul is not doing, but people today have been doing? Any hands on that? We're not as those that corrupt the Word of God. Bill?
Yeah, I think it's evident throughout the world as we're dealing with different people in the media, that people are under the illusion that they have power unto themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They make decisions on their own, based on their own feelings, their own thoughts, without any regard to God, the Bible, Bible at all.
Uh-huh.
It's as if God does not exist.
All right.
And that's the worst thing of all.
Mm-hmm. Good. There he is. So, Barbara, I mean, Anne-Marie and Randy, how does that from Canada? Go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Greetings to everyone. In that verse that you mentioned, examples of corrupting of the Word of God, the very word in the new translations that relates to corruption has been changed. It says, "For we are not like so many peddlers of God's Word. They corrupted it by removing the word corruption."
That's something, isn't it? Very good.
Yeah, there's an you thought that might be an example of corruption right there.
Amen. Thanks, Randy. Appreciate that. Let's wave to Randy. Let's wave to Randy in Canada. Randy and Anne-Marie. How does a corruption right there? Peddlers. What's the difference, Tammy?
I think it's rather ironic that the very people that are peddling the Word of God for profit and changing it so they can sell another version and such, mm-hmm. are the ones that change it to peddlers.
That's interesting. Peddlers, the very ones that corrupt. And what other ways have things been corrupted from the very first century of our AD Anno Domini, as far as the Bible is concerned, other things? What has been corrupting in the hands of them? List some of the corruptions that have been taking place. Yeah, Pastor Nan?
The mission of the last 12 verses of Mark.
Last 12 verses.
Alexander in Egypt, all the things that are going on in Alexandria, in developing, coming, putting together, compiling mm-hmm. the text of the false Gnostic Greek text, are some yes. examples of what happened with the modern day versions are based upon mm-hmm. these corrupted manuscripts that changed.
Change the corrupted manuscripts, Bill.
Yeah, they've pretty much negated the meaning of inspiration. Mm-hmm. Scriptures were given to us by inspiration of God, and we go back to those corrupt text writers in Alexandria, Egypt, and in other places in the world. Inspiration of God, they don't look at it at all. They look at it as they translate from Greek into whatever language that they want the readers to read as an accomplishment of their own,
mm-hmm.
The result of their own knowledge of languages. And they overlooked entirely the miracle of inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
God gave his words to the writers of the Bible. That in itself is a great miracle, which must be remembered, and we must appreciate the process of inspiration, because I'm not inspired of God.
Mm-hmm.
I can't write anything, but God gave his word, words that were exact mm-hmm. and very precise. And very true. He selected the correct words to give to the writers. I just think it's miraculous.
Yes, yes. David Daniels, in his book, What Has Changed, he's written many good books. In fact, he just sent me the other day another new book he just wrote, 51 Different Ways They've Changed the King James Bible. We're glad that David Daniels and his wife are going to be there at our King James Bible, our Dean Burgund Society next year. This last year he wasn't able to make it, and he's rejoicing. He wants to come, and he's going to be there. Wonderful thing. He's taken 472 passages in the Scripture, and he shows in this one of these books how they've corrupted and changed and altered. Many doctrines have been corrupted too, haven't they? The deity of Christ, his bodily resurrection, his virgin birth, all these other things. Pastor Dan.
Thank you very much for tonight's Bible study, we wanted to extend our heartfelt sympathy to the Peterson family. May our Lord and Savior comfort them during this difficult time. God bless you all. Hands love, Colonel Vicki.
Colonel Vicki Albert. I miss this way to Colonel Vicki Albert in the state of Maine. State of Maine. Appreciate that very much, Colonel Vicki. So these corruptions, Paul says, I have nothing to do with corruptions. He wanted truth. And that's why the Greek text underlying the King James Bible and the Masoretic Hebrew text and the other texts, Old Testament, are not corrupt. They're pure as God inspired and breathed them out. And our King James Bible is based accurately on the translations of those Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words. And we have it not corrupt. That's why we stand. We're so glad that our son, D.A. Witt Jr., has made this defined King James Bible, and that we can carry that and print it. Pastor Dan and Alan just sent out 16 cases today from the King James Bible service and store. And we praise God that we can still send these out and have definitions, these uncommon words, and continue not corrupting or correcting, but preaching and teaching and having people read and study the proper words. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Now, when he says we're not as those that corrupt the Word of God, apparently even in Paul's day, there are many that did corrupt and change, not simply peddle, but corrupt and make a different stand, a different picture, whether it's Philippians 4:13, I can do all things not through Christ, but through the one taking Christ out, all these different things, whether it's Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, period, leaving out Christ out, all these Gnostic heresies have appeared in these texts. Some 356 doctrinal passages Dr. Mormon has laid out in one of his books. I'm going to stop right here at this verse. Not those that corrupt the Word of God. Pick that up, Lord willing, next week. And go on with that verse and go on to chapter 3. But are there any other comments or questions before we close tonight that we might want to bring up? Lord, if not, let's close in word of prayer. We thank the Heavenly Father for Paul's diligence and forgiveness of those in need of forgiveness. Help us to forgive others as thou hast forgiven us, who genuinely realize that they've been wrong, and help them, Lord, to be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. We thank thee in the person of our Savior we can do this. We ask thee, Lord, to keep us from corrupting any of thy message, any of thy words, Old Testament words, New Testament words. We're sorry that so many different new versions, making plenty of money, millions of dollars, some of them, and false versions, corrupting the words that thou hast given to us. So keep us, our words and our scriptures, our doctrines pure in thy sight, that we may be a blessing, not a curse. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for coming.